God, let's remain standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God, the King James 16:11 Bible. I believe that to be the Word of God without a shadow of a doubt. Amen. No question about it. I do believe in the Word of God, brethren. I believe it's inspired. If I didn't, I'd quit preaching. If I thought it was man's book, I wouldn't be up here preaching out of man's book. We preach the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I trust this book. I try my best to live by this book the best I can. I've fallen greatly short of that. I understand that without a doubt. But nonetheless, we try to live by it. And you know, I've heard people say all my life, don't put me under the law. Now, I'm not under law, I'm under grace. Well, I've been free from the bondage of the law. But there's nothing wrong with God's law. Paul said, is God's law, is there something wrong with God's law? Is God's law bad? I said, God forbid. There's nothing wrong with God's law. And somebody said, well, don't put me under the law. Well, does that mean where the Lord said, thou shalt not kill? I'm not under the law. That means I can just go out and kill anybody I want to kill. We know better than that. Right. It's not so. Love thy father and thy mother. That's the law too, by the way. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or his ass or anything. That covetousness, that's also in the law. So there is much of the law that we still use today that keeps us from sin. It is, and so we'd do wise to read it and study it and take a note of it. I don't want you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis in chapter number 37. I've got a little weak sugar stick message that I had on Wednesday night, and I'm going to do my best to bring it this morning, and I'll let Brother Herbert take care of the big dealings tonight. Amen. I'm going to whisper in his ears all afternoon while we're eating back there in the back together. I'm going to tell him all the bad things I know about every one of you, have him to write them down and make sure he gets all the points right, and yeah. So forth. And where you get a good hook in you. I said, you know, in you. Of course, I don't need nothing. I don't need him to do anything about me. Amen. Well, isn't it good to be saved? All right, Genesis chapter number 37. And I want to read here about the first, let's see, the first 11 verses of this. I'm not necessarily going to preach out of those 11 verses. I will later. But because of this is the starting point in Joseph's life and his account in the Word of God, it's why I want to start here in reading. I intend, if the God will help me, to preach a series of messages on the life of Joseph. And so you bear with me on it, if you would please, and I'll try to do the best I can, try to help you and me and the church. So let's read in verse number 1 of Genesis 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that, their father loved him more than loved him more than his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, there we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and round about, and your sheaf stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? Oh, yes. And they hated him yet the more. Now, that's twice that the Bible says they hated him, yet they hated him. They hated him yet the more twice. So they had a great hatred for Joseph. We'll not get into much of that today. We will later on in the study, okay? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. And behold, he told his brethren and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? I want to say something right there. That is a marvelous verse if you'll stop and get a hold of it. Jacob said, shall me and your mother indeed bow down to you? Can I remind you that his mother was dead? Rachel has already died and passed on. This verse of Scripture in typology and prophecy goes far beyond the life of Rachel and far beyond the life of Joseph to that life of the Lord Jesus. That's right. That's right. And he told to his father, I'm going to read verse 10 again. He told it to his father, to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother, thy brethren, indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father, notice this, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Father took notice of it. He knew there was something there that was true in reality. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning because you first loved us. I thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God, and thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour and the song service and the preaching hour. I thank you so much for your people that are here, for the Herbert and Miss Dorothy. I pray you bless and help them during their stay with us. I pray you help them as they move and get organized, Lord. In Taylorsville, I pray that you'll help our people here in the church, our folks that are sick, and many of them, Lord, afflicted in their body. May they find great grace and divine help from the hand of the Lord. I pray you'll bless this morning with liberty, and I'd ask you, Lord, to save sinners and help and bless your people, revive the church. I do ask you, Lord, to help us as we magnify the Word of God and magnify you before the people. May every child of God today find divine help and grace from you, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As I've already said, this is the beginning story of the life of Joseph. And I'm not going to preach a great deal from it this morning. I will later on. But I want this morning to look basically at the beginning years or the early years of the life of Joseph as they begin to develop in his life, and preach just more or less an overview of his life up until this point. Now, Joseph was the eldest of two sons born to Jacob and Rachel. And, of course, he was born in the land of Haran. He was not born in the land of Canaan, but in the land of Haran, in the land of Abraham, and in the land of his father. And his brother, Benjamin, was birthed some years later, and of course at near Bethel. And it was at this time that Rachel died while she'd given birth to Jacob's younger, Joseph's younger brother, Benjamin. And it was during this early years in Joseph's life that he was spiritually developed into one of the most prominent types of Christ in the Word of God. Now, I want to run that by you again. Typology is a worthy study in the Word of God. And most typology will break down somewhere or another in truth as you follow it through the Bible. But if you take the life of Joseph, he was as near a type of Christ as any man in the Word of God. And you know, I want to say this about that. The Lord chooses people whom He pleases in this book to put them in particular places in this Bible to bring great truths and to preserve great truths for you and I, and also people's lives that He's able to take and bring out the person of Christ in them that will help you and I understand more about the Lord and more about the Word of God. And so it was there in the early years of Joseph and that he became a prominent type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw things and was taught things that was ignored by his brethren, but made such an impression on Joseph that it developed a character that was never faltered in him. And I want to say to you today, I marvel at what Brother Steve taught in Sunday school, how that Saul neglected what Samuel had to say, what the priest had to say, the people had to say. He neglected that, and in self-will, he took upon himself to act, and that brought him to a place of disgrace before the people, and death to his own life and to his children. And you know, we find the same thing going on here in the life of Joseph. His brethren, they apparently neglected to listen to their father and his instruction. These men really, I mean, they disobeyed God and disobeyed their father in several occasions. I'm not going to visit them this morning. One of them was that two of the Jacob's sons took it upon themselves to slay an entire city, kill every man in it after they had been circumcised and made a covenant with Israel. I believe it was Levi and I forget the other one, went into the city and destroyed the whole city. And rather than listen to the instruction of Jacob, they took it upon themselves to do this. But there's a little boy standing by that's taking note of everything that's going on in his father's life. He's listening to everything that his father has to say. And from that, he's developing in his life a character that never faltered. You'll never find anywhere in the Scripture that Joseph ever faltered when it comes to making a decision in his life about serving the Lord or about serving himself or sin. He always chose the Lord. Now get a hold of this. Even if it cost him dearly in his own life, he would not sin against God. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when he was placed in Potiphar's house, he was faced with the possibility of fornication and adultery. But he refused to do that. He refused to sin against God, knowing that it was going to cost him time in the prison. But he would rather go to prison than he would sin against God. And I'll tell you, he had something in his heart and that a lot of men, a lot of us just don't have today. And it was a determination to serve God. I'm reminded of what old Bob Jones used to say. He said, even if the stars fall from heaven, just serve the Lord. And I believe that's exactly what Joseph did in his life. He saw things and was taught things that he never got over. And they developed a great character in his life. And I want to say this, you know, and it's amazing what the preacher preached on Wednesday night. He preached on character. Character is a mark made by cutting or engraving. And certainly you can look at Joseph's life and see where the trials that he went through, that God cut away the flesh of Joseph engraved morality and the law of God upon his heart and in his mind. Now, I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, God works the same way today as He worked then. We want to draw back from afflictions, and we want to draw back from trials. We want to draw back from heartaches, but we forget to realize that it's these things that God is using to cut away the flesh and its power in us and give us enough grace that the Spirit might have the leadership within our own lives, that we might serve the Lord Jesus. Now, I said this in Sunday school. I won't say it to the church. And I don't mind saying it. Several years ago when I was in Bible college, God pointed out to me very clearly out of Isaiah 48 and verse 10 that I was to be tried in a furnace of affliction. God told me that affliction was going to be the way that my life was developed, my spiritual life developed, my character developed, my morality was going to be developed by this affliction that was going to come upon me. And you know, a lot of times when God tells us that we're going to have something that causes pain or discomfort or heartache to us, we've got a real tendency to shun that. I mean, we don't, God may tell us, but we want to turn a deaf ear to it. And you know, I finally, after all these years, and I'm not looking for sympathy, but I've encountered pain that some of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. And it got so bad on me on Thursday night that I laid down in my bed at 10 o'clock and wept. And I prayed, and I asked God to forgive me of all sin. And I thanked Him for the affliction that I had in my body. And I reminded myself by praying and telling the Lord that I remembered Isaiah 48:10. And I thanked Him for the affliction. And here's what I said. Now, you can believe this or not. I said, Lord, it's not if you can, it's if you will. If you'll just give me a little bit of relief from this pain, I'll thank you and praise your name for it. And so help me, within 5 minutes, that pain was gone and I was resting comfortably in my bed. But it's taken me all these years to come to the grips of the fact that I've got a debilitating disease that is someday going to get me, it's going to take my life. Now, we don't want to face that. I mean, you might as well say amen. I mean, there's things that are painful in life that we just don't want to face, the reality of it. A lot of people don't want to face the reality of life itself. But I'm telling you, Joseph had some reality to face here. And all the time, when he's hated by his brethren, rejected by his brethren, cast into the pit, sold down into Egypt, into Potiphar's house, into the prison house, all of these things is working for that wonderful day when Joseph would be delivered and exalted and it would come to pass that his father and his 11 brothers would, without a doubt, or his bow down to him. And they did. Now, the grace of God, it is. And I want to say this to you young people. I may say this again. You young people need to take notice of that. Hey, God wants to start early in your life developing a Christian character in you. God wants to start early in your life in revealing the Lord Jesus to you and giving you an understanding of what it means to live a holy and a righteous life. There's no greater time in your life to listen to instruction from the Lord than right now. And not just let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't put a pipe through your head to where the Word of God goes in here and comes out over here. Take the Word of God and hide it in your heart. Tuck it away in your heart. The Bible said that you might not sin against God. And I'm going to tell you, as a young man, I could name others. Daniel did the same thing. David did the same thing. There's others in the Bible that listened to godly instruction when they were young, and it helped them when they got old. And it will do the same for you. Amen. And sometimes it's not just sometimes, all the time. It's those difficult things when we're down in the valley that God is going to cut away this flesh of ours and purify a vessel that is fit for the Master's use. It's not on the mountaintop. I love to shout. Thank God for shouting. I love praising God, and I'll tell you, I'll shout at the drop of a hat. And if you ain't got one, I'll go to my house and get one and drop it myself. Amen. So I can shout. But it's not on that mountaintop that God makes real Christians. It's down in that valley. And He don't desert us in that valley. There is a lily in that valley, ladies and gentlemen, that will help us along the way. And you look here. And a lot of times, and I want to reiterate this, when troubles come our way, we want to run from them. Hide from them. Try to get away from them. But I'm telling you, as sure as you're saved and sitting here this morning, God's got a plan and a purpose for your life, and you can run as far as you want to run, hide wherever you want to hide, and God is going to find you. You just mark her down. God will find you, and He will eventually make out of you what He wants to make. He is creating within you His own image and His love and holiness and righteousness, developing that. And He will. He will. You can't run from Him. If you descend into heaven, He'll be there. Make your bed in hell, He'll find you there. His eyes run to and fro in the earth, beholding both the good and the evil. You're not going to get away from God. You can't run far enough to do that. And God will take care of business someday. Just mark that down. Now, when it comes to the end of Joseph's life, now I'm skipping some years, but when it comes to the end of Joseph's life, or Jacob's life rather, here's what he had to say. He was blessing his children. And here's what he had to say about Joseph in the book of Genesis, chapter number 49, beginning in verse number 22. He said, Joseph is a fruitful bow, even a fruitful bow by the well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him. His own brothers, the archers, they shot at him. Those arrows, those flaming darts of the devil were shot at Joseph. Grievedly, the Bible said, it grievedly, sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the mighty, Almighty, who shall bless thee with the blessings from above, blessings of the deep that will lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of thy fathers have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors under the bound of everlasting, above the everlasting hill. They shall be on the hand of Joseph, and the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brothers. Now, I said all that to say this. What kind of a man was Joseph out of there? I mean, his father in his final years looked at that man. We think he's trying to bless him for future life, and he did. But he is telling Joseph what he sees in his life right now. I wonder what God would say if he looked in your life and my life right now. What would he have to say about us and our spirituality? How deep does our spirituality run? The Bible said that Joseph's spirituality, he was so spiritual that he was like a branch by a well. Did that branch even went up and run over the wall? Or the wall of what? The wall of that well. What was that branch doing? I'm going to tell you what. It was looking for water down in that well. Hey, that's what made Joseph. That man looked for the water, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm going to tell you, by the grace of God, if we're ever going to amount to anything for the Lord, we're going to have to seek the water of the Word of God. There is a well that will never run dry. Thank God there's a well of grace that will never run dry. There's a well that we can drink from of the Word of God that will bless us and strengthen us. And as Joseph, it will give us the same power and the ability to overcome our enemies. His brothers hated him. Yet the more and the more they hated him. He even told them that, well, there's coming a day when you're going to bow down to me. There's coming a day my father will bow down to me. They didn't believe. They hated him yet the more. And they envied him yet the more. But as sure as God wrote that down in that chapter, there come a day down in Egypt when those brothers had to come down for a little bit of corn because they was having a famine up there. And Joseph knew them, but they didn't know Joseph. And I'm going to tell you what they done. They walked down there in Egypt and they said, here's the governor. Here's the man you're going to have to deal with. And when Joseph saw him, I imagine his heart leaped pretty good inside his bosom. And I can just hear the thoughts of his mind as he watches those boys do this. I imagine he remembered a dream he had a long time ago. Said, Lord, you brought it to pass. Now, folks, hey, we need to get a hold of that. Brother, I'm telling you, God is a good God. And brother, I'm telling you, when Joseph had that dream, it come from the hand of God. And we ought to rejoice. when God speaks to us from this Bible or shows us the truth for our own life out of this Bible, it ought to mean something to us. I mean, we ought to rejoice in the Lord. Now, the Bible says about him in that, it said he was fruitful because he abode by the well. He abode by the well. But according to his dream, his brethren bowed before him in Egypt, and so shall Israel, now get this, so shall Israel and all others bow before Jesus when he returns and reveals himself to his brethren, even to the nation of Israel. There is coming a time. I said he's the type of Christ. Just as those brothers of his hated him, rejected him, there come a day when they had to bow to him. And friend, I'm telling you, there's coming a day when not only Israel, but every Christ rejecter, and every person that hates the Lord Jesus, they're going to bow down to him. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Brother, I'm talking about from the White House to our house to the church house, everybody is going to bow. He has got the power and the authority. Thank God he is the only wise king and potentate, and he's got all power. He's not got some power. He's got all power. Now there's coming a time when that power is going to be revealed to his brethren, and they are going to bow down to him. That's right. They're going to yield. They're going to have to yield their stubborn and rebellious heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know that's right. Now, listen, he hated, his brethren hated. He was hated by his brothers. And you know why it was? Because his father loved him. And here's what one writer said. He said that coat of many colors was more like what used was called a tunic, I believe. It was more like a robe that they wore. And they did wear them in those days. But it had certain colors of blue around the bottom and around the top and around the sleeves. And what that was a robe of royalty. And those brothers of his saw Joseph wearing that robe. And surely they thought, all of the inheritance is going to him. He's going to get it all. And that's why they hated him. And folks, that's exactly why they hated the Lord. The Father had bestowed great blessing and great authority upon Jesus. And Israel hated him and rejected him. Same way with Joseph. When he came out with that robe, they realized in their heart that he was loved of his father more than they were loved. And they got jealous. They envied him. They hated him. They despised him. They threw him in a pit, sold him out to Midianites, carried him down to Egypt, wound up in a prison. I'm telling you, all the time, here's what I like about it. All in every instance, the Bible said about Joseph, but God was with him. God was with him. Boy, isn't that wonderful to know? If we're doing good, God's with us. If we're not doing so good, God's with us. If our health is good, God's with us. When our health is not good, God's with us. Amen. I'm telling you, when we're in trial and affliction, God's with us. There's never a moment that God is not with us. That's right. I can't get over that. I wish I could expound on it in a better way. It's only one way I can say, God is with you. If we had ever get a hold of that fact, that we're not in this battle alone, and we're not in this life alone, God's always with us. Thank God. And I'll get to some more of that here in just a minute about that, okay? Love proved to be stronger than hatred. It love proved to be stronger than hatred. Look in verse number 24 of Genesis 49 at this blessing. He said, his bow abode in strength. His bow abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And from thence is the shepherd and the stone of Israel. And so, hey, he was strengthened by the union which he had with the Father, which he had with God. The Bible said there that his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Israel. If I understand anything about that, what he's telling me is that Joseph was so beloved of the Father and so beloved of God that he walked hand in hand every day. He was strengthened by the hand of God. Can you imagine going through life with your hand in the hand of God? Did Jesus not say that no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand? Oh, Lord, have mercy. If we could ever get a hold of that this morning, realize that God's got not, we're just, hey, we're just not, God's just not with us. He's holding our hand. How many of y'all remember that little old picture? I used to be in every house you'd ever go into. Showed a picture of a little boy and a little girl walking across the bridge across an old mountain and boards missing from it. And that angel was standing out there beside of them. That's telling us that they're protected. That angel is standing there protecting them. And you can say what you want to say. But I'm telling you, friend, in troubles, in hazardous time, even when danger is near, our God is with us. Not just standing there. He's got a hold of our hand. And He's not just got a hold of our hand just to be holding it. He's leading the way. And if He's leading the way, if it leads us down into the valley of trial and temptation, we ought to rejoice in it, knowing that God is with us, hand in hand, walking every step of the way. And He that is with us said, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. He'll always be there. And hey, and because our hand is in His hand, it ought to strengthen us in the Lord and help us to stand fast in the Word of God, facing all of our trials, all of our troubles, all of our enemies, and coming out victorious through them all by the grace and help of Almighty God. Is that right or not? Now, notice this. He was crowned because he was separate of his separate spirit. Notice verse number 26, if you will. He said, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. I won't stop right there for a minute. To the everlasting hills. That's got a meaning to it. There are some hills in the Bible that are everlasting. Friend, that will never be destroyed. One of them is Mount Sinai, where the law was thundered forth. Somebody said, oh, I don't like the law. Well, Paul said, I'd never known not to covet unless the Bible had told me not, the law had told me not to. So I'm going to tell you something. That law is good. There is a hill. There is a hill where we got the law. That condemns us. Somebody said, oh, I don't like to be condemned. I'm going to tell you, until you come under condemnation, you don't stand a chance of being delivered. Because there's another hill over here called Calvary. There's two everlasting hills, folks. Amen. There's two everlasting hills that's got law and grace, and the law will keep us right, and the grace will bless our heart. Thank God for the law and the grace. I'm not ashamed either one of them this morning. Amen, that's right. And he was separate from the rest of his brethren. He wasn't like them. He was kind of like Caleb and Joshua. The Bible said about Caleb that he had a different spirit about him. And I wonder if people say that about you and I today. Well, that he's got a, or she's got a set different spirit than most people. I hope we have. I hope that we can be folks and take notice and realize that we're somewhat different than what other people are. Now stay right with me. He was crowned because of that separate spirit. And then there were early influences. This is really what I've been wanting to get to. There were early influences in the life of Joseph that helped him. You remember the night of Jacob? The night that Jacob wrestled all night long with the Lord. Joseph wasn't there. He never actually witnessed the wrestlings with the Lord. But he did take notice of Jacob, how his life had changed when he came back into the camp of Israel and his people limping the next morning. Doesn't say anything about any of the other brothers saying anything about their daddy. But it says, and I know that Joseph recognized his daddy when he come back in with that limp. He knew that on the other side of that brook, something had taken place the night before. And hey, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'll guarantee there were later years in his life when he crawled up on his daddy's lap, said, "Daddy, I want you to tell me what happened that night when I watched you. You went across that brook to pray, and I saw you coming back, and you were limping. I want you to tell me, Daddy, what went on over there." I imagine Jacob said with a smile on his face, "Son, let me tell you about that night. That's the night that the Lord came to where I was. That's the night that the Lord, that I wrestled with the Lord all night long. That is the night that I went from a supplanter to a prince to Israel. That is the night that I wrestled with the Lord and refused to turn loose till God blessed me with the blessing that I needed, the courage to overcome the fear that I had of my brother Esau." Oh, listen to me, church. I'm telling you, hey, God wants us to do the same thing. Brother, I'm going to say there's a place on yon side of the brook where God will meet with us. And you can wrestle with the Lord. Hey, and don't turn loose. That is our problem. We want to say a little puny prayer and think that we've got everything taken care of. God wants us to hang on and pray until that prayer is answered by the grace of God. And He will answer it. And He will answer it with a blessing most of the time. He will answer it in a way that will bring joy to our heart, blessing to us, and glory to His wonderful name. That's exactly right. So his father was alone that night. And I'm sure that he realized that Jacob's life had been transformed. Imagine when he saw his daddy coming, he thought in his heart, "What in the world happened to daddy?" Doesn't say anything about his brothers mentioning it. But Joseph put it in his heart. He's developing character. He's becoming a great man of God. He takes notice of things. He's got listening ears and seeing eyes. And he's got a heart that understands. And he's got a life that's changing. And he can see his own life changing and developing and maturing more and more. And can I say this to you? Just hang on just for a second. Experiences in life will help you. Now, I'm not saved by an experience. Now, I've never died, like a fellow told me the other day. I had a fellow back there the other day that told me that he died and went to heaven. Said he was there just long enough. Said he saw the people and he saw Jesus and he saw the river. And they heard one song, one verse of one song was sung. And he said, "Boy," he said, "that's a wonderful experience I had. And I thank God for it." And I've been saved ever since. I said, "Sir, I don't want to be ugly to you. But I said, you know what my Bible says? My Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And I said, "There was a man by the name of Paul called up to paradise and saw things that were unlawful to men." He said, "Oh yeah, but Paul was already saved when he was called up there. But this guy's saying he got saved after he got called up there and saw what he saw. That's what saved him." You're not saved by seeing. You're saved by hearing. Thank God for the hearing. I had a doctor to tell me once that the hearing is the last sense that a man has that departs from him when death comes. Thank God we're saved by hearing the Word of God and not seeing. He wasn't saved because he saw it either. In fact, he wasn't up there. He might have had a dream, but he wasn't in heaven. That's right. We're saved by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. His life, he saw Jacob's life transformed. He saw his father's life that once feared Esau. That's why he went over there to pray. He was afraid. I'm going to have great fear fell on him when he knew that Esau was coming with 400 men. He was afraid and he went on the other side of the brook to pray. But when he come back, Joseph saw his daddy go over there trembling in fear. But he saw him when he come back, standing straight up, his countenance had changed. There was no fear in his face. There was courage. There was strength. There was power that he had never had before. Doesn't anybody's brothers recognizing that? But I'm confident that Joseph in his life saw that transformation in his father and took notice of it. He had to take notice of it. Of his father's life that once was full of fear, but it's now courageous. Now stay right with me. Then he saw Jacob's wisdom in separating the herds and the flocks from one another. And I want to go on this. He saw Jacob's wisdom in separating the flocks and the herds from the others. He witnessed his father's humility. Now I'll go back to that in a minute. As he esteemed Esau above himself. You know, when Jacob met Esau, he bowed to him. Now God done give him the courage over here and done told him that he has nothing to fear. Most men, if that would have happened to them, oh, they would have met Esau like a Brahma bull. I've got the power now. God gave it to me. I mean, man, I'm somebody. Now, what happened to Jacob to make him have the courage that he had did not exalt him. It abased him. It humbled him. And here's a young boy by the name of Joseph that recognized the humility in his father's life, and it helped transform his life for all time that he would spend upon the face of God's earth. I wonder if we've got that kind of humility that God gives us in our heart victory over, say, somebody that has we fear, or somebody that we think has got more authority than we have in the church. There may be people sitting here this morning, and you think you got a fear of, in your heart of somebody because you think they got a little more authority in the church than what you got. I'm going to tell you something. What you need to do is get a hold of God and get over that thing. That's right. And learn to esteem Him higher than yourself. And humble yourself before Him. See, humility always goes before honor. Amen, Brother Hall. We'll never be honored. We'll never be elevated till we're first made low. Now I'm telling you, on that other side of that brook, Jacob was made low, that he might be made high and lifted up. And the boy by the name of Jacob, the boy named Joseph, saw his father when he went over there, and he saw him when he come back, how he was changed, and yet he saw the courage, but yet he saw the humility also in the heart and life of his daddy. Then I want to say that Jacob's return to Bethel in chapter 35 and verse 1, there in Joseph's presence, Jacob built an altar. Now, that's when he came to Bethel the first time, or when he came back after the ladder. He built an altar. God instructed him to build an altar. And he built it in the presence of Jacob. Jacob realized it was built for sacrifice and prayer. And it possibly may have been made known by Jacob of the first encounter that he had with God there at Bethel. And I'll get to that in just a minute. But it was there on that altar that Jacob built in chapter 32, I believe it is, that he built an altar. And an altar is for two things, folks, for sacrifice and for prayer. And that young man by the name of Joseph realized real quick that I've got to have a sacrifice. There's no way around it. I have got to have a sacrifice. That's right. And in his heart, he looked beyond the bulls and the goats and looked to Jesus as his sacrifice. He also realized that altar was a place of prayer. God taught him something there. I don't think it said much for his brothers, but it taught Joseph something. I'm going to tell you, everybody needs an altar. When I read that about how that altar, Jacob built that altar, and that boy watched him. You know what made me think of that old orange ottoman sitting upstairs in my house. In my house. And I thought of the night in Greenville, South Carolina, on that old altar, that I buried my face in my hands and cried out to God, hey, for help. And guess what? Help was on the way. No doubt about it. Help was on the way when I needed it. I told Miss Hall, we lay down in the bed last night. I told Miss Hall, I said, honey, I'm going to do something some of my grandkids may not like, but I'm going to do it. I said, that room upstairs on the end out that way, I said, it's from now on, it's mine. I said, we're taking the bed out. But what are you going to do about a bedroom down there? There ain't going to be no bedroom down there. You know what's going to be down there? An orange ottoman. An altar. A place of prayer. Not just a place of prayer, but a place where I can become a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. I want to offer myself on that altar to the Lord. That's right. Make that a place of prayer. Oh, a place where God meets. A holy place. Amen. And a holy thing. An altar is a holy place. It's a holy thing. And we ought to look at it that way. Because it points to the cross. The altar where the Son of God died. I heard some very well-known preacher make a statement that just about curdled my blood. When he was talking about the Lord, he talked about how the Lord shed no blood at all on Calvary. That his blood was shed in Pilate's judgment hall when he was scourged. He lost it, but no blood that had ever a place in the Bible where it says he shed any blood on the cross. I'm going to tell you what he done. He said, we're saved by the Lord's body. Well, his body was made a sacrifice for sin. But I'm going to tell you something. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that cross was an altar. And it's at the altar where the blood was shed of those animals. You better believe it. Now I'm going to tell you, it was on that cross that the Son of God, now I don't know how he done it, he's God, but somehow on that cross, he shed his blood and carried that blood into heaven itself. The Bible tells us that, and sprinkled that blood upon the mercy seat that is in heaven itself. Hey, for a man to make a statement like that, I wouldn't believe a word he's got to say. On the old rugged cross, he shed his blood as a Lamb of God for you and for me. And I'd say amen and hallelujah to him. Amen. Now, you know, when they went back to Bethel, Jacob may have talked to Joseph about the first encounter he had with God. You know, when he left home, Jacob left home, headed down to get his wife, come back. Got more wives than one, too. Amen. That's his mistake right there. You might say amen. Amen. But when they went back to Bethel that second time, I can imagine that Joseph, man, went to his daddy and said, Daddy, have you been here before? He may have said, son, come here, I want to show you something. I want to show you something. He said, you see this little spot right here on the ground? He said, believe it or not. He said, right there. He said, there's a ladder standing right there. And said, I looked up. It was angels. Descending and ascending. Up and down on that ladder. But he said, I looked at the top. And I saw Jesus. You don't think that didn't do something with that boy's life? He is that that experience that his daddy had had with God. Fathers, listen to me. Nothing will help your children anymore than for you to set them down and talk to them about the experiences that you've had with God and how wonderful and precious God has been to you. I'm telling you, hey, you've got a treasure. You've got, if you're saved today and live for God, you've got a treasure house in your heart. Amen. That ought to be shared with your family. Don't be ashamed to set those boys and girls down and tell them what the Lord has done for you.
That's right.
Son, I don't like to go back behind the cross, but I remember when Daddy wasn't all that he ought to be, Brother Andy. I liked that booze as well as any man. I loved the world and sin as well as any man. But I'm telling you, there come a day, son. I'm talking to my boy now. There come a day, girl, daughter. There come a day, girls. There come a day, son.
Amen.
When Daddy met somebody. And his name was Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right. And ever since I met him, he has changed my life. He's worked in my life. He's protected me. He's blessed me. He's helped me. Hallelujah. You know what? I called my son last night. Kyle's birthday is on Tuesday. I called my boy last night, and he just went to, it's called him a little late. He's been putting in a lot of hours down in Texas, but he was at home. And they took Kyle out for his birthday on Saturday. And he's tired, but I called him and was talking to him. And I said, Benny, I said, I got something I want to tell you. And y'all will just sit and look at me when I tell you this. But you already know it. I said, I got something I want to tell you. I said, honey, I said, about 10 days ago, I said, I walked in up to the bank and paid off our house. He said, Daddy, are you serious? I said, just as serious as a heart attack. It's paid for. I got the mortgage just Friday. The lien has been released. It belongs to Sister Hall and I. You know what Benny said? He said, Lord, Daddy, that's awesome. You don't think he won't remember that? Do you not think that will give him a little grit in his craw and some desire to want to have a home and have it paid for his family someday? It's not my home. I didn't buy that place for me. I'm not going to need it much longer. It wasn't paid off for me. It was paid off for my wife and my children. That place over there is really theirs. They don't know it yet, but it is. It belongs to them. Hallelujah. It's something I can leave for them. And God blessed me and gave me that. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said you ought to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. I'm not weeping today over that fact. Amen. I'm rejoicing. I would to God I had somebody in here to rejoice with me a little bit over. Amen to God. What a blessing. Yes, thanks. Bless His holy name. Thank you. Praise God. I'm telling you, God's good. We'll just let Him work in our life. God's good to us. And God will bless us and help us and deliver us. He did me. He did Jacob. He did Joseph. And He will you.
That's right.
He will you. That's right. I was talking to Sis last night. I said, well, I said, what are you going to do when I'm gone? He said, well, I don't think you're going nowhere. But he said, I got to be truthful. He said, I'd probably have to go live with one of the kids or one of them a while, some a little while. I said, you really believe that? She said, yep. She said, I'm younger than you are. And it's a fact that men die before women. Brother Herbert, me and you's old enough. We don't have to get sick to die. We just die.
Yeah.
I read the old bit yesterday in the newspaper. Somebody was in there. 54 years old, already died. 54 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm 66. That's 12 more. God's given me 12 more years. Not y'all already.
Yeah, that's right.
Ain't God good?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, God's good. And here this little old boy's watching all these things about his daddy in his daddy's life. He's laying them to heart. And I'm going to tell you, that's why Jacob loved him. In the text I read this morning. Because he saw that boy laying every spiritual thing that was said and done and taught, laying it to heart and using it in his own life. That's right. That's why Jacob could say what he said in chapter 49 of the book of Genesis about his boy. I read it all to you. I wish I'd read it again, but I don't have time. But there was something else that took place there. He might have told that boy, said, "Now, son," said, "I got one more thing I want to talk to you about. Why don't you come right over here?" Imagine that little boy looked down and said, "Well, my daddy, what is that?" He said, "Son," said, that's a rock." Well, he said, "I know that's a rock." But his daddy said, "But it's not a rock. That's a pillow. That's what I made a pillow out of when I slept here that one night. When I saw Jesus at the top of that ladder." You think Joseph didn't lay that to heart? You think he didn't lay that to heart?
Amen.
He probably looked at that stone. And he said, "Daddy, what in the world is that discoloration in that?" Jacob probably said, "But boy, that's where I anointed that stone with oil." Are you listening to what I'm telling you? That stone is a type of the Lord Jesus. He is our anointed stone. He is a rock of ages, ladies and gentlemen. And he's been anointed with all the power that God has endowed him and endued him with. And in the Holy Ghost, that all.
Amen.
The top of the Holy Ghost. That's right. That little boy looked at that and said, "Daddy, what is that?" He said, "Son," said, "that oil is the Spirit, the top of the Spirit of God. And that rock is the top of the Son of God, anointed with great power." And said, "Yes." And he said, and I can imagine Joseph said, "Daddy, you mean that pillar is a type of Jesus and not all the Holy Spirit?" "Yes, son, that's what it is." "And you laid your head on it?" Well, he said, "Yeah, I've done more than that, son. So I laid down there and went to sleep." Now, come on now and get a hold of this. Why cannot we rest in Christ? Amen. I'm telling you that Jacob rested in the Lord. No, not troubled, but rested in the Lord. Went to sleep with not a care in the world, knowing that the Lord was in that place. And he called the place Bethel, which is called the house of God. So hey, so let's come to the house of God and find that anointed stone called Jesus and rejoice in the fact that he is our anointed stone and the rock of ages and one that you and I can find rest in as a child of God. Amen. That's right. Now, he set up a pillar there. And that pillar was still spotted with the oil that he had anointed it with. And then finally, there's one more thing that happened in Joseph's life. As they, chapter 30, what is it, 39 maybe, where those boys of Jacob had made him stink before the inhabitants of the land by killing those men. And God said, "You go down to Bethel, back to Bethel where you were at." And he gathered up all the idols from his family. Folks, I'm going to tell you, they had some baggage they ought not to have. God told them, said, "You tell your family to give you their idols. If you want to go back to Bethel, give me your idols." Jacob took those idols and buried them under an oak. And there's little Joseph looking on. My daddy is burying those idols. God must not like them. And he don't. And I'm going to tell you, God don't want any idol worshipers in the house of God. We're going to come to church. We need to get the idols out of our life. Things that are we deem important to us are really not important at all. Do you know what? I'm finding out the more, the longer I serve God, if I'll just forget other things and put my mind on God, the Lord has still blessed me with other things and blesses me with His presence and grace still. We got a good God. I'm not talking about things that sin. I'm just talking about God lets us do things that we enjoy in life. I enjoy hunting. And gobble season ain't far off. Now I got a 20 gauge just waiting to pop one of them. I don't think God holds that against me. Not at all. Some of you guys like to fish. I don't think God holds that against you. You know why I don't? You're in the house of God today, aren't you? I called a meeting on last Sunday at 5 o'clock and you were here. You come to Bethel. Let's come to Bethel and leave our idols at home. Bury them under the oak. That oak may even be a type of Jesus. I'm not sure. But they buried them idols under an oak and went back to Bethel. But as they were leaving on their journey, one more thing that little Benjamin saw, or little Joseph saw. He was standing by as he watched his mother going to labor. And she brought a boy into the world by the name of Benjamin. Benoni. But Jacob called him Benjamin. Now, listen carefully. Joseph was there when his mama gave birth to that boy. And what the Bible said, and while her spirit was in departing. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what went on that day, friend. But I'm going to tell you, it wasn't no ordinary death. The Bible said, while her spirit was in departing. I wouldn't be at all surprised if God didn't just let Jacob and all that family just peep over and look down into the spiritual side of things there for a minute. They may have seen, God may have allowed them to see something in their mother's face that they knew that their mama's spirit in departing was going on to heaven. And little Joseph saw his mother die, but he also saw Benjamin born. You know what he told his brothers when they came down into the land of Egypt? He said, I'm going to hold one of you here and don't come back without your baby brother.
That's right.
And when he saw that boy, that second time when he's time around and Joseph saw his brother, the Bible said that he fell upon his neck and wept and kissed him. And he set him down to eat. And he gave all of his brothers a portion, but he gave Benjamin a worthy portion. You know why? That was his only blood brother. Them other guys were just half brothers to him. But Benjamin was his brother, his baby brother. He saw his mother die giving birth to that boy. And I'm going to tell you, he loved that boy. He loved that boy. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, though, his mother's death stood out in his mind all of his life and influenced him in his life. He knew that her spirit was in the part. He said, I know, ain't got no problem where mama's at. I'm going to tell you, when my mama died, I stood at Bible Baptist Church and she requested me to sing that song. I will not be a stranger when I get to that city. Mama wanted me to sing that. I sung that at her funeral. And I'm going to tell you what. I remember the night that my mother died. And I know the life that my mama lived. She would wear clothes down to here and up to here. God wasn't going to let her go in no nursing home. She wasn't counting on them clothes for her salvation. My mother was an old-timey person, very modest. She wasn't interested in showing off her flesh to nobody. But yet she had 10 children. She wasn't interested in showing her flesh to nobody. I believe God took her to keep her from going to a nursing home where she may get embarrassed in her life. And I remember that day, the night that my mama died, They rolled her in on that gurney. She was just laying there with her eyes barely open. And I got right down here. I said, Mama, can you hear me? She said, yes. And I said, Mama, I want to thank you for everything you've ever done for me. Every meal that you've cooked. I want to thank you, Mama, for every time you put a patch on my clothes. I want to thank you, Mama, for every time you washed my old filthy clothes. And yeah, I want to thank you, Mama, for every time you busted my rear end. And she just smiled as they rolled her on back to the room. That's the last time I ever saw my mama alive. I'm going to tell you, friends, that stood out in the life of Joseph. He remembered that. He saw his mama die. But she brought that boy forth. And I know what was in Joseph's mind. She died, but she left me a treasure. She left me a boy. That in my old age, now he didn't know this at the time, that I'm perished. In my old age, when I'm older and married, and I'm down in the land of Egypt, when he comes down to the land of Egypt, I'll have corn to feed him with. I'll have pastures where his sheep can graze. My mama died giving him birth, and I love him. Now I'm going to bless him because of it. Now I'm going to tell you what, when they all came down, guess what? Guess what Jacob done when he saw Joseph? They all bowed to him. And the dreamer's dream come true. He that they thought was an idiot, his dream come true. And one more thing and I'm done. There's one other thing that I'm sure influenced Joseph. There's probably children in here like this today. Joseph was raised by his mother only, or his father. He didn't have a mother to raise him. He was left to Jacob. Don't you know that's why Jacob made that coat of many colors and loved that boy above all the others? He knew that that boy was different. Amen. That's why he sold him that coat of many colors. And he loved that boy. And he raised him himself. There may be people in here, and I know there's some of Miss Amanda, and I'm not saying this in an ill way, Miss Amanda. She's got a little boy to raise. He doesn't have a daddy's watch care over him. There may be others in here who's got a son or a daughter. They don't have a mommy or a daddy. No watch care over them at all. I'm going to tell you, folks, if you've got a mommy and a daddy, you ought to thank God for them. But Joseph loved his daddy because his daddy put special care on him. He loved him. And his daddy, he was left for his daddy to raise. You might be left with a son or a daughter to raise on your own. No help from anybody else. And Joseph saw the tender, loving care that his daddy took for him and placed upon him. No doubt his daddy loved him with a love that is beyond. That's why when he went into Egypt, Jacob thought he was dead. He said, I'll go down into the grave. Brokenhearted, because Joseph is not. He's been torn apart by a wild animal. And the boy that I loved is gone. And he said, I'll never see him again. You know what we think today? We think today Jesus has gone to heaven. Or we'll never see him again. Oh, folks. Yeah! Oh, yeah! Joseph lost all of his hope. His boy come back and said, Daddy, Joseph is alive and he's down in Egypt. The Bible said that his heart just sunk. His spirit departed from him. He didn't believe it. But when he looked up and heard the rumbling of the wheels of the wagon, and saw all the good things loaded down in them that come from Egypt. I won't say this to you. We're not of this world, but I'm telling you we're sustained by what is in this world. And I'm going to tell you, God can load your wagon with more than you can handle. And when Jacob saw those wagons loaded with all, not just a little bit, with all the good things of Egypt, the Bible said his spirit came again. And he was revived. Yeah, he got a little kick in his legs around a little bit. You know what he said? After thinking his boy was gone, he said, I will arise and go into Egypt and see my boy again. Amen. I can imagine the meeting that they had. What a meeting. Jacob and Joseph must have had together. Daddy that had raised him all his life was now going to be protected and blessed by the one that he had raised and brought up. Let's all stand together. I think that's all we're going to say.